Blog Talk Radio.
Skyrocketing healthcare and insurance costs. Extremely modest gains against chronic disease. Thousands die yearly due to drug reactions. What can be done? Thomas Edison is quoted as declaring, "The doctor of the future will give no medicine, but interest his patients in diet and nutrition, exercise, and the care of the human frame. He will teach them about the cause of all disease. The doctors of the future are here." Welcome to Blue Zone Wellness with your host, Keith Henry, ND, one of the doctors of the future.
Hi, and welcome once again. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. Thank you for joining me wherever you may be joining me from around the world, here in the U.S. as well as in other countries, especially my friends in Costa Rica. I'd like to welcome you once again as well. And I have an interesting show for you today. We're broadcasting about an hour later than normal but due to some scheduling issues, but that's okay. We're still here today, as I promised we would be here. And we do, again, have a very exciting show for you. I'd like to remind you, if you want to visit me, you can do so at facebook.com/naturedoc. I have a couple of groups there, a couple of pages where I post interesting information most of the time, a rather great amount of the time. I would like to welcome my listeners who may be listening on Sky Angels Radio. Sky Angels Radio. You would not be listening to this program live, but those who may be listening on Blog Talk Radio, you are listening live. But if you're listening to this on Sky Angels Radio, this is a pre-recorded show. Even though we're doing it live now, you'll be listening to a recorded version. And we have an interesting show again. Also, we have here at Blog Talk Radio, we have the chat room up. In the event that you may want to put a question in the chat room, you can do so. Or if you like, you can call in at 917-889-2207. That's 917-889-2207. Today we're going to be talking about, we're going to cover all three of the areas of the show that we normally cover. And starting off in our Week in Natural News Review segment, we're going to be talking about how to avoid antibiotics. We're also going to talk about a special antibiotic tea. We're going to be talking about burdock root, which is a powerful herb to help clean your blood and, quote, heal a variety of ailments. We're also going to be talking about 10 foods in our healing food segment to help reduce the risk of dementia and Alzheimer's. We're also going to continue talking about milk thistle in our last segment. We have a couple more articles we're also going to talk about in this first segment that Week in Natural News Review. That's the segment that we look at articles that have come out during the week, and we discuss and analyze and comment upon them. And, again, we will... Before we get started here, I'd like to remind you just to follow me on Facebook, send me a friend request at facebook.com/naturedoc, N-A-T-U-R-E-D-O-C, that's /naturedoc. And you can also visit my blog and get lots of information there. And I'd just like to remind you that we will be back again next week at the same time, we're at our regular time. So what we're going to do before we get started, we're going to take a quick break. And after that break, we're going to jump right in to our show today. Back in just a second.
How do you feel? No, really. How do you feel? Do you feel lively? Are you bursting with energy? Or do you feel run down and suffer from a lack of energy most of the time? Have frequent colds, aches and pains of one sort or another? The fact of the matter is that most people in America are not well. But you can begin to change all of that today by simply visiting the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog of Keith Henry, ND at www.phase3ministries.com/WordPress. Go there now and explore the wealth of amazing wellness information. That's www.phase3ministries.com/WordPress. The simple natural...
You're listening to Phase 3 Wellness with Dr. Keith Henry. Be sure to listen right here every week at the same time. You can also visit Dr. Henry on Facebook at facebook.com/naturedoc. Thanks for listening, and here's to your health.
Hi, and welcome back to Phase 3 Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. Thank you for listening and joining me here on Sunday afternoon. I'm broadcasting from right outside of Orlando, Florida area. and we are going to go ahead and get started. This is our first segment. And this is the segment, as I said before we went to break, that we talk about articles that have come out during the week, health articles, and we discuss, talk about, comment upon these articles. And the first article I'd like to comment upon this week is an article found at greenmedinfo.com. And it was written by Case Adams, who's a naturopath. And it's entitled, "Is Olive Leaf Nature's Answer to Diabetes Treatment?" Interesting article. Olive Leaf Nature's Answer to Diabetes Treatment. And the article starts off by saying that researchers from the University of Auckland have determined that olive leaf extract actually has the ability to decrease insulin sensitivity and increase the production of insulin by the pancreas. And Dr. Adams here goes on to point out that there was this randomized, double-blind, and placebo-controlled clinical study, the researchers actually divided 46 overweight men into two separate groups. They gave one group olive leaf extract, and it was a standard. He said it was a standardized extract, and the other group a placebo for 12 weeks. So the standardized extract is basically an extract that has the same amount of the herb in each supplement. Where a lot of times if you buy loose herbs or take herbs that have not been standardized, you may get varying amounts, sometimes more, sometimes greater. But the benefit also of loose herbs that have not been meddled with is that you don't upset the natural components that the creator has put in them. So generally speaking, it's better to take the whole herb. There are cases that taking a standardized extract may be beneficial, but generally speaking, it's better to take the whole herb. Anyway, the other men in this group were just given placebos, and the study, as I said, according to this article, went on for 12 weeks. He said that the placebo and the olive leaf extracts were both given in capsules, and their identity were completely masked. Then after a six-week washout period, he says, the researchers switched the groups, giving the placebo group the extract and the olive extract group the placebo. The researchers found that the olive leaf extract lowered insulin resistance by an average of 15% and increased the productivity of the pancreas' beta cells, which actually produce insulin, by 28%. So if you take those two in conjunction, and just if you think about it for a minute, if we take the two percentages in conjunction for the ability of the olive leaf extract to basically lower insulin resistance, but at the same time increase the capacity of the beta cells to produce insulin, if you take both of those benefits and you combine them together, you're getting about a 40% boost rate. So, because you take the 28% of the insulin, and you combine that with the 15%, or rather, the 28% of the capacity of the beta cells to increase insulin, and the 15% to help with insulin resistance, and you take those two beneficial percentages together, and you're going to get right around just around 40%, about 43%. He goes on to say insulin sensitivity was measured using a glucose tolerance test, which measures glucose and insulin levels in the blood every 30 minutes. The pancreatic beta cell function was measured using the Matsuda method of glucosone insulin curve measurements. And he quotes the researchers saying, quote, supplementation with olive leaf polyphenols for 12 weeks significantly improved insulin sensitivity and pancreatic B cell secretory capacity in overweight middle-aged men at the risk of developing the metabolic syndrome. He says further after, and then he ends the quote. He goes on to say further, while the research shows the ability of olive leaf to treat type 2 diabetes, this effect of olive leaf extract upon the peak pancreas beta cells means that olive leaf may well be able to treat or partly ameliorate type 1 diabetes outcomes related to insufficiency and relative destruction among the beta cells that depletes their ability to produce enough insulin. He says further that in their analysis of this study, together with other research on olive leaf extract, they summarized the effects upon a person with type 2 diabetes will likely be more pronounced. He says this concept is confirmed by a number of studies of conventional medications that showed effects upon diabetics are greater than on non-diabetic individuals. So again, we're talking about the herb olive leaf extract. There are millions and millions of people who are pre-diabetic, insulin resistant, which is basically the precursor to being pre-diabetic, and pre-diabetic is the precursor to becoming a full-blown diabetic. He goes on to say in this article, so he says the scientists in their comparison to conventional drugs for insulin sensitivity noted that the olive leaf extract effects of increasing beta cell production at the same time as decreasing insulin sensitivity was unique because the conventional medications typically produce the effect of increasing beta cell activity but not decreasing insulin sensitivity. They stated, and he quotes them, saying, hence, compared to these drugs that only improve insulin secretion, olive leaf extract improves both insulin sensitivity and pancreatic B cell secretory capacity. He said, he's still quoting him, they say, remarkably, the observed effects of olive leaf extract supplementation in our study population is comparable to common diabetic therapeutics, particularly metformin. So here we have a small study here, and there have been other studies done with olive leaf extract, treating men who are insulin resistant, and olive leaf extract, and these men were overweight. And it showed the capacity, even while they're overweight, to not only increase the beta cell production of their pancreas, but also to decrease the insulin resistance. So it works double to help benefit the body. And the researchers found that it worked. Most diabetic drugs, they only work in creating and helping the pancreatic B cells create more of secretory capacity, wherein with this herb, it only did work for the B cell, but it also worked for the insulin resistance. So you're getting a double bang for your buck. He goes on to say in this particular article, the ability of olive leaf extract to treat type 2 diabetes was confirmed in a study last year from Israeli medical researchers. In this study, he says 79 type 2 diabetic patients were given 500 milligrams daily of olive leaf extract or a placebo for 14 weeks. The olive leaf treatment group had significantly lower levels of HbA1c and lower fasting plasma insulin levels. Olives have been a central part of the famous Mediterranean diet for thousands of years, they say, and he says an olive leaf has been used medicinally for those with blood sugar issues at least for centuries. He says further, there is no surprise that the Mediterranean diet is known for its ability to prevent and even reverse metabolic disease. So again, we're talking about olive leaf extract. It is definitely a remedy, a very powerful remedy, as has been demonstrated here in these couple of studies that I've referenced and that have been referenced by Dr. Case Adams, who's a naturopath out of California. And this is a very interesting and enlightening study. If you are a diabetic, and let me tell you, there are many millions of people right now in the United States and around the world, but especially here in the United States and North America in general, who are millions. I'm talking about probably 30 million people or more who are already pre-diabetic, who don't know it yet, who are even more insulin resistant and don't realize it yet. And so even some are diabetic and have not realized it yet. So it's very, very important. Now, you combine overall great eating with exercise, again, eating in harmony with the rainbow, following those laws of health that I talk about here all the time, you are definitely going to get the benefit. And diabetes is not a disease that you want to experience. It is a disease that has become looked upon as not a big deal simply because so many people have it and because it's so common. But it's a very dangerous disease. It's the number one cause of blindness in the United States in adults. And so it's also a lot of people get into a situation where they're having limbs amputated, all because of diabetes. So again, it's not something to to take lightly. It's not something to play around with. So again, if you have someone who is a family member with diabetes or who is insulin resistant, you may know of, you may want to have them listen to this or may want to do some more research on olive leaf extract or olive leaf in general. You're listening to Phase 3 Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. We're going to move to our second article at this time. This article is taken from naturalnews.com, and it is entitled, How to Avoid Antibiotics. How to Avoid Antibiotics. And the author is Derek Henry, no relation. But it's a great article, actually. And he starts off by saying, you can't throw a rock nowadays without hitting a doctor who is eagerly waiting to prescribe antibiotics for nearly any infection, be it bacterial or not. He says, facing the onslaught of patient after patient complaining about cold and flu-like symptoms, antibiotics become the easy way out for doctors to pack them up and send them on their way. However, he says, patients are becoming much wiser and are actively looking to avoid antibiotics any chance they get. He says that becomes much easier with these natural antibiotic solutions, which he follows up with. Again, I want you to understand that antibiotics are not effective for viruses. You need to understand that. Synthetic antibiotics are not effective for viruses. They're only effective for bacterial infections, and many times they're not, as we talked about on the show last week, many times they're not sufficiently effective for those, and because they always leave a few of the bacteria behind, we get what now are called superbugs, to where they come back and the antibiotics have no effect on these superbugs, these bacteria that have mutated and formed anew and come back, and they've become immune to the bacteria, or to the antibiotic, rather. That's not the case when you're dealing with natural antibiotics, because natural antibiotics are, again, given by the Creator. And I believe that it is a superior form of medicine to what we have been subscribing to. Anyway, to go back to this article, the first natural antibiotic that he points out, and we've talked about this on here before, and most of them we've talked about on here before, is colloidal silver. And he points out that colloidal silver has been known as a remarkable antibiotic for centuries. And in the early 1900s, Alfred Cyril, he says, founder of the Cyril Pharmaceutical Company, discovered that silver in colloidal form could kill the most deadly pathogens. He wrote, quote, applying colloidal silver to human subjects has been done in a large number of cases with astonishingly successful results. It has the advantage of being rapidly fatal to microbes without toxic action on its host. It is quite stable, he said. It protects rabbits from 10 times the lethal dose of tetanus or diphtheria toxin. The article goes on to point out further that recent research has backed this up, showing that colloidal silver can destroy antibiotic-resistant microbes like MRSA, the bird flu, and SARS. He says, for safe usage of colloidal silver, the Silver Safety Council recommends using the following formula, 12 times your weight, ppm drops per day of your silver supplement. Now, to go into this, when you buy colloidal silver, it would basically tell you on the bottle the number of ppms that's contained in that particular, in that bottle. And here he points out that the Silver Safety Council recommends using 12 times your weight in pounds, and that will equal the number of ppm drops per day of your silver supplement. Now, I would recommend, if you already have an infection or you feel an infection that's coming on, you're more likely going to need to take more than that, at least for a short amount of time. But again, I've used colloidal silver personally. I've used it in my practice, and it is a very, very, definitely a very, very powerful natural antibiotic, and without the normal side effects that you get from normal antibiotics, synthetic antibiotics. The next one that he lists is garlic cloves. Of course, we've talked about garlic, and garlic is what I call God's antibiotic. It's a very powerful, broad spectrum antibiotic. He points out in his article, Allicin, one of the active components of fresh crushed garlic, has a wide variety of antimicrobial activities. And in its pure form, it exhibits antibacterial activity against such several strands of bacteria, including multi-drug resistant enterotoxigenic strains of E. coli. He said it also exhibited antifungal activity, particularly against Candida albicans, as well as antiparasitic and antiviral activity. This increases its effectiveness in order to keep bad bacteria in a check, he says. Then he goes on to point out, for garlic to be effective as a healing agent and general antibiotic, it needs to be raw. We've talked about that last week. It should also be crushed and exposed to air for 10 minutes before it's consumed to fully activate its key germ-killing compound. So again, it's interesting. Crushed, raw, exposed to air for 10 minutes are the three things you need to remember in taking garlic cloves. Very beneficial, very powerful, powerful antibiotic. Next is lemon juice. We've talked about that on here as well. He points out how lemon juice has antibacterial and antiviral properties, as well as high levels of vitamin C, which adds a synergistic effect in fighting off all kinds of infections. He points out further how lemons are also very low in sugar, which helps starve rogue microbes by not feeding them directly. He points out also that this also boosts your immune system, so it can do a more effective job of keeping your body clean of any foreign pathogens. He says combine that with the fact that lemon juice balances your pH to create an internal alkaline environment, and you have created an ideal atmosphere that is hostile to disease. And then he points out that you should use organic thin-skinned lemons for the most benefit. So here you've heard three very powerful antibiotics, and if it was myself, I would use them in a combination for optimal results. You listen to Phase 3 Ministries, or rather Phase 3 Wellness, which was a division of Phase 3 Ministries. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. We are going to continue. We're still in our first segment. We're talking about the Week in Natural News Review. And then this article is very, very interesting. We're still in the same article. Again, it was published this week, and it's entitled How to Avoid Antibiotics. It was published on the 1st by Derek Henry, no relation. He goes on to point out further that he points out how to make an antibiotic tea. And he says one of the easiest ways to fight a bacterial infection is to make a warm tea, 100 to 120 degrees, teeming with antibacterial components. He says not only does it give your digestive system a break to free up energy for the immune system to effectively attack the invading microbes, but it also allows you to create a concoction that provides synergistic effects that increase your results exponentially. And here's the recipe. One Podiarco tea bag, the juice of one lemon, two medium cloves of garlic, one teaspoon of unpasteurized honey, which is also a proven antibacterial food, your recommended dose of colloidal silver, and add 12 to 16 ounces of warm water, 100 to 120 degrees Fahrenheit. He says, in the end, the most effective way to ward off dangerous bacteria is consume as many antibacterial foods and beverages as possible. Limit your sugar intake, control your stress, increase your natural forms of vitamin C, and take immune-boosting herbs on a daily basis. After all, prevention is your biggest weapon in our bacteria-filled world, and also the least costly. So true. And basically, this author has basically repeated in a nutshell what you heard me say week in and week out if you're a consistent listener. The best thing is those are the basic things you can do to stay well. If you get sick, those are some of the things you can do to get well. But ideally, if you, the same thing that you do on a consistent basis to stay well are generally the same things you can do to keep from getting sick in the first place. So it is very, very interesting. Let me repeat that for you. If you didn't get it, you didn't have an opportunity to write it down. You can replay this this broadcast after it's over. Here's the recipe again. One Podiarco tea bag, the juice of one lemon, two medium cloves of garlic, one teaspoon of unpasteurized honey, also, which is also a proven antibacterial food, your recommended dose of colloidal silver, and you add this to 12 to 16 ounces of warm water that between 100 and 120 degrees Fahrenheit. Excellent, excellent advice there. Again, I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. You're listening to Phase 3 Wellness. I'm going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk a little bit about burdock root. And we'll talk a little bit about 10 foods to help reduce the risk of dementia. And then that will actually be in our healing food segment. So when we get back, we'll talk about one other article. And then we'll flip over to our healing food segment. And then we will, after that, we'll go over to our final segment, which is our healing herb segment, and we will talk more about milk thistle that we didn't finish talking about last week. And if we have time, we'll talk a little bit more about burdock root, which is the herb we'll be talking about briefly when we get back. Again, thank you for listening. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. I will be back in just a moment.
You're listening to Phase 3 Wellness with Dr. Keith Henry. Be sure to listen right here every week at the same time. You can also visit Dr. Henry on Facebook at facebook.com/naturedoc. Thanks for listening, and here's to your health.
Do you know anyone that has health issues? Of course you do. Have you noticed the rise in popularity of natural therapies and alternative medicine? Sure you have. Have you ever wondered if alternative therapies work, or if it's just all quackery? Then you need to visit the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog at phase3ministries.com/WordPress. Keith Henry, ND, is trained in natural naturopathy and provides amazing insight at the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog that he has gained from years of hands-on experience. Check it out after this show at phase3ministries.com/WordPress.
Welcome back to Phase 3 Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry, broadcasting from the beautiful Orlando, Florida area. Again, I'd like to thank all of my listeners that are listening on Sky Angels Radio and here in the U.S., but all around the world. And we're going to continue with our show here, and we're still in our first segment where we deal with the Weekend Natural News Review articles that have come out. This is our final article in our first segment, and then we won't take any other break before we go to our second segment, which is our healing food segment. It is very interesting. We're going to talk about 10 foods to help prevent you from developing dementia and Alzheimer's. Very important. Most people don't realize, they think that Alzheimer's dementia is for older people. What they don't realize is that it was their lifestyle in the early life that set the stage. So you don't get Alzheimer's dementia when you get old. You're getting it every day based upon your lifestyle. So this next article, which is entitled Burdock is a Powerful Herb to Treat a Variety of Ailments, was taken from naturalnews.com. It was published this week, and it was published yesterday, as a matter of fact. And the author, P. Simmert, starts off by talking about how burdock is essentially composed of carbohydrates, volatile oils, plant sterols, tannins, and fatty oils. And he says that like many medicinal herbs, some of its incredible health benefits originate from its powerful antioxidants. In this case, he says quercetin and lutein are the main phenolic acids working wonders once inside the body. Now, one of the things that I've used burdock root for, and a lot of practitioners will recommend burdock root for, is to help cleanse and purify the blood. Very, very important herb for doing that, for helping to purify and cleanse your blood. It's one of the best, actually, for doing that. And so if you're in a situation or you're going through some type of a cleansing and you're at the stage where it's time for you to cleanse your blood, I would highly recommend that you make burdock root a part of your cleansing. Maybe you want to get with your naturopath or herbalist or a lifestyle coach, whoever that you're working with, even a medical doctor who may be also trained and knowledgeable in the area of natural health and maybe be able to give you some direction with respect to how much burdock root you should be taking, and et cetera. I typically like to take it in a tea form. I recommend it in a tea form. And it's a very, very powerful and efficacious herb to take. In this particular article, he goes on to say that burdock was a very popular herb amongst the Native Americans, that they would always make sure to have it available all year by storing loads of it prior to the winter months. He says, going way back in time, burdock has been considered an exceptional herb to cleanse or purify the blood stream by relieving it from accumulated toxins. He says, further, it's also been utilized at times as a diuretic and applied to the skin of patients suffering from eczema, acne, or psoriasis. Some people living in Japan and parts of Europe, he says, simply eat it as a vegetable that can assist digestion thanks to inulin, which has in its natural dietary fiber. He says that with varying degrees of efficiency, it is also used at times to treat or help reverse the effects of unwanted health conditions such as gallstones, kidney stones, heart disease, cancer, high blood sugars, bacterial skin infections, sore throats, and colds. Again, I would recommend that you take burdock root, and I highly recommend that you combine it. If you're taking it for an infection of some sort, combine burdock root with, say, high doses of vitamin C and whatever else. It just depends on whatever the health issue that you're dealing with. But I found it to be very efficacious. The author in this article says further, he asked the question, so what can some of its phytochemicals do for you? And he points out inulin. He says, as briefly mentioned above, the inulin will help with digestion by maintaining a balanced intestinal flora, but it also promotes decent sugar levels for diabetics. It contributes to lowering blood pressure and may very well give a hand for those seeking to lose weight. Then he points out that it also has polyacetylenes. He says this one provides excellent antibacterial actions when used topically to treat acne and boils. This phytochemical will assist those who suffer from foot or toenail infections thanks to its antifungal properties. Interesting. Again, I would also combine, if I was taking burdock root in for fungus, I would recommend taking it internally as a tea. Also, maybe putting it on the fungal area as an extract of some sort, if it's on the toe. And then also, there's a couple other things that I would do, but basically, I would combine with it, maybe combine it with some DMSO to help it get into the bloodstream of that toenail, through the toenail, and even easier. But that's a little bit beyond the scope of this particular article. And he also points out it has another phytochemical called arctogenin. He says this one has been tested on mice in order to evaluate its effects regarding eventual encephalitis treatment. He said results seem to show that arctogenin has strong antiviral and even anti-cancer properties. It is pertinent to note that burdock oil has a high concentration of essential fatty acids and phytosterols. These not only exhibit skin repair properties, but also seem to lower the chances of developing heart disease as well as cancer, especially stomach, lung, breast, and ovarian cancers. He points out further, you may choose to get burdock root either fresh or dry. It is possible to get fluid extracts and tinctures made with alcohol or even burdock oil. Otherwise, if not used topically, it may be a good option to consume dry burdock leaves in teas. And that's what I would recommend. If you're not using it topically, I would recommend drinking it in a tea. Again, you are listening to Phase 3 Wellness. We've been talking here about burdock root, which is a very powerful blood cleanser. It has some very powerful phytochemicals within it. And I highly recommend that herb. Now we're going to pivot over to our healing food section. This is the section, if you haven't listened before, where we discuss either a food or a number of foods that have healing capacity. It's probably one of the most popular parts of the show, as we talk about different foods and their ability to heal. As we talk about Hippocrates, talks about let your food be your medicine and your medicine be your food. This particular article that we're going to be talking about, we're going to talk about this. That normally I would just take a particular food and talk about it, but I found an article as well this time that fit right in with what I found to be in line with the spirit of this section, the healing food section. And it was called 7 Alzheimer's triggers, and basically rather 10 foods to help reduce the risk of dementia and Alzheimer's. And so why not, you know, look at some of these? Because as I said earlier, we often associate or affiliate dementia and Alzheimer's with older people in our society and senior citizens. But what we're not stopping to think about is that they didn't get Alzheimer's overnight, or they didn't get dementia overnight. Alzheimer's and dementia formed over years. So they were getting Alzheimer's and dementia in their early ages. It just manifested itself later on. So in this particular article, it's taken from naturalnews.com as well. And he says the incidences of dementia and Alzheimer's in the United States are anticipated to increase along with people's longevity. A study indicated that direct and indirect medical costs in this country may be expected to double by the year 2040. He points out how the rising number of incidences of these mental conditions have triggered efforts to devise preventive measures. And according to research specialists, people can modify their lifestyles to decrease the probability of developing dementia and Alzheimer's. It says these include integrating daily physical and mental exercises, as well as a healthier diet. He said these mental health problems are two of the most devastating degenerative illnesses today. However, research indicates that they are actually easily preventable. And so let's look at some of the foods that have been associated with reducing the likelihood of developing the dementia or Alzheimer's. And he points out, number one, green leafy vegetables like mustard, leaves, spinach, kale, and collard greens. These vegetables have a high folate or folic acid content, and this, as a result, can help decrease depression and improve cognitive functions. Understand that the more consistently depressed you are, the greater the likelihood that you will develop dementia or Alzheimer's. There have been studies to show this for quite a while now. So it's not a good thing to be in a state of depression. It affects the mind in such a way that as you get older, it increases the likelihood that you will develop dementia or Alzheimer's. Number two, vegetables of the cruciferous family, such as cauliflower, kale, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, and bok choy. See, these all have folate and carotene, and these help decrease the level of amino acids associated with impaired cognition. So again, you have these foods that you've heard me talk about over and over and over again, that are in harmony with the colors of the rainbow, and they're close to the garden. So as close to the garden as you can get when those foods are raw, combined with eating them in harmony with the colors of the rainbow, which most foods of the garden are in colors of that rainbow, or the colors of the rainbow. Legumes, number three, legumes and beans, which have magnesium, iron, folate, and potassium. These components help maintain, again, the components are magnesium, iron, folate, and potassium. They help maintain the functioning of your body's systems and its actual action potential in the cells of your brain. These foods also have choline, which increases the action of the neurotransmitter acetylcholine, ACH, in your brain. So by eating legumes, beans, etc., you're getting magnesium, you're getting iron, you're getting folate, you're getting potassium as well. Number four, cherries and berries have anthocyanin, which helps in protecting your brain from more harm caused by unstable molecules known as free radicals. So by eating cherries, you can actually also help protect your brain. Points out how at the same time, polyphenols are found in blueberries, which are great in preventing the buildup of pathogenic proteins that are prevalent among people with brain diseases. These fruits are antioxidants, and they are anti-inflammatory, and they contain high amounts of vitamin C and E. Both of these are very, very powerful antioxidants that destroy and make free radicals, basically break down free radicals so that they cannot do the damage that they would normally do to your body. Number five, whole grains like kamut, gluten-free oats, and complex carbohydrates. In quinoa, they are rich in fiber and in the B vitamins that we've talked about here before. Again, carbohydrates are converted to glucose, which is the major energy source for your brain. So eating complex carbohydrates, major energy source in your brain, only works on glucose. Next, number six, omega-3 fatty acids are great brain boosters. Omega-3 fatty acids are great brain boosters. Says a report indicated, he's pointed out that there's 26% less risk of developing lesions in your brain that cause brain disease among individuals who consume food high in omega-3 fatty acids on a daily basis. And he points out how apparently these dietary components are efficient in maintaining your brain function. So omega-3 can only be obtained through the consumption of olive oil, flaxseed, or omega-3 supplements and fish. Of course, because I advocate a plant-based diet, I highly recommend that you get it from flaxseed, olive oil, or supplements. Of course, there are people who I know who may listen to the show who may not be on a plant-based diet. But again, I'm just pointing out that these are some of the ways that you can get it. Again, from fish, olive oil, flaxseed, and omega-3 supplements. The thing with a lot of the fish is so much of the fish has become contaminated with mercury that many times eating any benefit that you may get from the fish are many times outweighed by some of the other problems that we've had to deal with. Number seven, unsalted pumpkin seeds and sunflower seeds have healthy fats, vitamin E, choline, and zinc, which are useful in maintaining cognitive health. Again, you see things like vitamin E, which is high in antioxidant power. Number eight, squash, pumpkin, asparagus, carrots, beets, and tomatoes should not be overcooked, but they should be eaten. They contain vitamins and minerals, again, like folate, iron, and vitamin A, which are all useful for your brain wellness and for boosting its function. Sage, cinnamon, turmeric, and cumin. These spices help to break down plaque buildup in your brain. Sage has a strong anti-inflammatory and antioxidant, and it has both strong anti-inflammatory and antioxidant properties, rather. Curcumin, which provides the yellowish color of turmeric, is a potent, and we've talked about curcumin and turmeric to death on here, but it's just that good. And they both have a potent antioxidizing enzyme. Cinnamon is known to enhance cognition. It regulates your sugar levels in the blood and contains manganese, and it has antimicrobial properties. Cumin is rich in many other nutrients as well, and it has a main nutrient, which I'm not going to try and pronounce. It's a really long word, and it facilitates regeneration of brain cells. So again, and number 10, almonds, walnuts, cashews, hazelnuts, pecans, and peanuts all contain pyridoxin, which is a B vitamin, folate, magnesium, omega-3, omega-6, fatty acids, and these all help boost your brain function. Other health issues that affect the brain unfavorably and need to be prevented include heart ailments, obesity, diabetes mellitus, and high blood pressure. Many people didn't realize that these actually also affect the brain. In addition to maintaining a healthy diet, a healthy body rather, and sound mind, people should steer clear as much as possible of many of the environmental pathogens, excess stress, sugar, caffeine, of course, illicit substances such as drugs. We need to get sleep for 8 hours, properly managing our stress, and giving gratitude to our Creator. A thankful attitude, not only to your Creator, but to others who help you, other human beings that help you. A thankful, positive attitude would go far to ministering or to healing your brain and your overall attitude. In like manner, being negative, angry, frustrated, stressed out, all these things will contribute to destroying you and destroying your brain and greatly increasing the likelihood that you will or that you could develop Alzheimer's or dementia. So again, those are some of the foods. If you didn't catch everything there, again, go back. The replay of this show will be available probably about 10 minutes after the show is over. Go replay it again, download it. It's very, very important to understand these things. You are listening to Phase 3 Wellness. We're going to take one final break. We're going to come back and finish up our last segment. We're going to continue talking about milk thistle. We've been talking about the benefits of the herb milk thistle, what it's good for, how beneficial it is for your liver. It's one of the best herbs that you can use. And if we have time, we'll talk a little bit about burdock root. As well, you're listening to Phase 3 Wellness. We'll be back in just a second.
How do you feel? No, really. How do you feel? Do you feel lively? Are you bursting with energy? Or do you feel run down and suffer from a lack of energy most of the time? Have frequent colds, aches and pains of one sort or another? The fact of the matter is that most people in America are not well. But you can begin to change all of that today by simply visiting the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog of Keith Henry, ND, at www.phase3ministries.com/WordPress. Go there now and explore the wealth of amazing wellness information. That's www.phase3ministries.com/WordPress, the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog.
You're listening to Phase 3 Wellness with Dr. Keith Henry. Be sure to listen right here every week at the same time. You can also visit Dr. Henry on Facebook at facebook.com/naturedoc. Thanks for listening, and here's to your health.
Hi, welcome back to Phase 3 Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. I'd like to thank you for listening in again, whether you're listening live or whether you're listening to a replay of this broadcast. We are on our last segment here on this beautiful Sunday afternoon or evening now, about 5:46. We're going to jump right into our final segment. We talked about milk thistle week before last. We continued it last week, and this is our final discussion about milk thistle for now. And we talked about how beneficial it is for your liver and how many different processes that your liver and responsibilities that your liver have. It's a very, very, very important organ. We also talked about the many different diseases and abnormalities that can be benefited by milk thistle. We talked about arteriosclerosis, gallstones, high cholesterol. We talked a little bit about cancer. And we stopped a little bit when we were talking about cancer. I want to pick up there. And in the midst of cancer, I was mentioning how mice who were given, let me back up some. We talked about how some breast cancers, as well as other forms of cancers, are actually stimulated by the hormone estrogen. And how laboratory studies find that silibin, which is the chemical found in milk thistle, actually competes for the receptor sites that would receive estrogen in these kinds of cancer cells. And we talked about how scientists at Case Western Reserve University in Cleveland, Ohio, have found that silymarin actually stops the growth of breast cancer cells both within tumors and, more important, before anchoring themselves in other organs of the body. So it can actually help prevent cancer from metastasizing to other parts of the body, as well as at its chief point. I think we mentioned this too, how mice given the milk thistle compound, silibinin is in a very large dosage, equivalent to 30 grams or approximately 1 ounce for a 110-pound adult, were completely shielded from kidney damage during treatment with the chemotherapy agent cisplatin or platinol. I mentioned that last week. So now let's talk a little bit more about milk thistle. Come up to date. Milk thistle acts against liver cancer, which can be a devastating cancer, by actually protecting specialized immune cells in the liver known as Kupffer cells. Now, these cells engulf bacteria, they engulf toxins, as well as other foreign matter that are coming into your liver, and they also play a role in destroying cancer cells that have entered into your blood circulation. And they do this as a first step in spreading in parts to other parts of your body. So these milk thistle has been shown to be able to help prevent this from happening. The psilocybin in milk thistle protects the Cooper cells from inflammatory reactions without interfering with the action of your immune system. And so this is one of the ways that they work. Also, the psilocybin in the milk thistle protects your cells from inflammation reactions without interfering with the action of an immune system chemical. And this chemical is actually called tumor necrosis factor alpha, which actually accelerates the destruction of cancer cells by the immune system. And so although recovery from liver cancer is exceedingly rare, there is at least one report of milk thistle leading to the recovery. Scientists at the Center of Cancer Causation and Prevention in Denver, Colorado, have reported that one of the components of milk thistle, again, psilocybin, causes differentiation of prostate cancer cells and inducing them to return to a normal life cycle. And this effect is actually independent of the cells of genes that patrol for and destroy cancer cells and may actually slow the growth of the rare but deadly strands of prostate cancer that do not respond to hormone therapy. So again, we are talking about the ability of milk thistle to help prevent, reverse, heal cancer in some cases. And I suspect when you combine this with other herbs and other lifestyle changes, that you may experience or see others experience significant healing. Now, milk thistle can also help diabetes because chronic liver damage sometimes results in a form of diabetes in which your liver is no longer able to respond to insulin. And many people didn't realize that the insulin that the liver has to respond to the hormone insulin. But see, the body is a holistic. The Creator has made the body in a holistic fashion. So, when one thing is wrong somewhere, it's a very real possibility that something is going to be wrong somewhere else as well, or rather, probability. And again, we're talking about how diabetes is helped or benefited now by milk thistle, as well as cancer and some of these other chronic diseases. As I said before, chronic liver damage can sometimes result in a form of diabetes in which the liver is no longer able to respond to insulin. This condition is known as insulin resistance. We talked about that earlier. And it is very, very difficult to treat in some cases. But in a double-blind study of 60 patients who had both alcoholic cirrhosis of the liver and diabetes, 12 months of treatment with 600 milligrams of silymarin daily resulted in significantly lower fasting blood glucose levels, less glucose spillover into the urine, lower proportions of glycosylated hemoglobin, with a measurement of the thickness of blood cells caused by elevated blood sugars. So in other words, milk thistle can actually help benefit your liver in terms of how it reacts to insulin and help prevent you from getting into a situation where you are insulin resistant. We talked earlier about olive leaf extract and some of the studies that were associated with it. So it's very, very important. So now think about if you were to combine olive leaf extract on a program with milk thistle and change of diet and exercise, stress management, you would really, if you're on any type of diabetic drug or anything else, it's a very real possibility that you could be off of them. Milk thistle can also fight diabetes in other ways, not just the way that we're talking about. Here's the thing. Insulin not only transports glucose into muscle cells, but it also transports fatty acids into fat cells. So silymarin actually stimulates your liver so that it can take excessive amounts of insulin out of the bloodstream in people with type 2 diabetes or diabetes arising from alcoholic damage to the liver. So by regulating the amount of insulin that's circulating in your body, the silymarin and milk thistle treatment actually counters weight gain stimulated by excessive amounts of insulin in the bloodstream. In addition, animal studies indicate that milk thistle extract can actually reduce ketoacidosis, which is a complication of prolonged, uncontrolled diabetes, and this is when your body is forced to use fats rather than glucose for fuel, hereby produce severe toxic effects on your central nervous system, and which includes your brain. Now, in coming to our final discussion on milk thistle, milk thistle has also been shown to be beneficial in Parkinson's disease because milk thistle maintains in Parkinson's the body's supply of the antioxidant glutathione, which actually helps slow the progress of the disease. And we're talking about Parkinson's disease. The herb also lessens constipation as well as heartburn, and it can also help with digestive problems that actually commonly occur in people with Parkinson's disease. So again, now that would be the only thing I would use on a Parkinson's disease, but milk thistle definitely has shown to be beneficial in that. It's also been shown to be beneficial in psoriasis. There's some naturopathic physicians that report that milk thistle actually helps reduce, or it actually reduces the frequency of psoriasis outbreaks. And I think this probably is due to the increased production of bile, which actually flushes away toxins that are associated with disease of psoriasis. Again, because milk thistle helps the liver, it helps with liver detoxification, etc. Of course, if the liver has been detoxified, it's going to be able to help detoxify the body more, which is going to lessen the likelihood that you have the impurities circulating in the blood, which is going to in turn help cut back on the disease of psoriasis. And so, again, this is the benefit of milk thistle, some of the benefits. So we've talked about how milk thistle is such a great benefit, hands down, for your liver. We've talked about in the past 3 weeks how it can benefit acne, constipation, Crohn's disease, irritable bowel syndrome, alcoholism, cirrhosis, and hepatitis. We've also talked about how it's beneficial for atherosclerosis, gallstones, high cholesterol, and iron overload, cancer, diabetes, Parkinson's, and psoriasis. Amazing. Now, think about the amount of money you would pay for a drug that could do all of that, that could benefit all of those. It would probably be $500 to $600 a pill, if not more. Even if it could, if one drug could consistently and effectively cut disease of just one of these, just cancer or atherosclerosis, you would probably pay even much more than that. So again, the Creator has given us this herb, milk thistle, and I highly recommend that even if taken from, if you've taken it in a fashion just to be a quote tonic to help benefit your liver, for liver health overall, I highly recommend that you take it. You have been listening to Faith 3 Wellness. We are down to about the last 3 minutes or so of the show, just about 2 minutes. And we could go into a little bit of discussion of the burdock root, but we're just, and we mentioned it earlier because I just came across that article, and I want to go into talking a little bit more about it. We've talked about it before, but maybe we'll talk about burdock root some more next week. I know we've talked about it before; it's been a while ago. But just to give you some more ideas on the power of burdock root, and I just run really quickly over some of the things that we will be talking about, or we plan to talk about with respect to burdock root maybe next week. We plan to talk about its benefits when it comes to arthritis, gout, sciatica, boils, dandruff, eczema. Also its benefit in treating cancer, diabetes, and some of the other things that it can do because it is a blood cleanser. Now, we are going to begin to wind down here. I would like to thank you for listening. You've been listening to Phase 3 Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. I'd like to remind you to visit me on Facebook. That's facebook.com/naturedoc. You can also visit my blog at Phase 3 Ministries, PHASE, the number 3 Ministries, /WordPress, for lots of information on health and wellness and herbs, etc., to read. And I'd like to remind you that we're here on Sundays. Join me next week at 4 to 5 p.m. We'll be back at our regular time. And I'd like to remind you that you can also visit my pages. I have several pages. So just go to my Facebook page. You can also see the pages that I have there that I've liked or that belong to me. And you can visit these pages. And I have lots of information there as well. So again, as we get ready to call the show to an end, I want to thank you for listening. I want to remind you to be here with me next week at our regular time, 4 to 5 p.m. I hope that you will have a blessed week. Take care.